We all remember the Titanic, don't we? Herald as the world's first unsinkable ship. It was almost 900 feet long, 46,328 tons. What made us think the thing could even float? How can something that heavy float? It was known as the Pride of the Sea, and it sank to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean on its very first voyage, the night of April 15th, 1912. 1,517 people lost their lives. Pride. Well, it can be either good or bad, can it? In positive terms, we take pride in our appearance, in our work we do. We encourage our children by saying how proud we are of them. We might even tell them, you should be proud of yourself. I know I've said that to Slade before. But pride can also be evil, which invites God's judgment. The scriptures portray selfish pride as an attitude God condemns as sinful. It leads to all kinds of self-centered, self-gratifying actions with no concern for the well-being of others. As Christians, we are forgiven for our sins, but sometimes we might continue to struggle with the temptation to let selfish pride guide our thoughts and our actions. We're going to do a little thing. I want, one at a time, I'd like you to say something that... tell me some effects that pride has on a person's life. Just something, some way pride might affect our lives. And as one thing is mentioned, I'm going to blow one breath into the balloon if I can blow enough breath to do it. Okay. Greed. Envy. Well, the illustration is, pride works like this balloon. As people continue to get puffed up in their pride, they will one day reach a breaking point. What would happen if I kept blowing up the balloon? That's right. Eventually it would burst. So today's passage in Ezekiel demonstrates the foolishness of pride in comparison to the fall in the Garden of Eden. So turn to Ezekiel chapter 28, and we'll begin reading with verses 1 and 2. Ezekiel 28, verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, Thus says the Lord God, Because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god. The city of Tyre, and especially its ruler, Ethbaal, had a lot of wealth and influence. But it also had an invincible adversary, the living God. Why? Because the city's maritime success and its accumulated riches, and Tyre's ruler became proud and began to think of himself as a god. He would even say that he was a god. So it's clear that pride led to his delusional thinking. And by this time, God had had enough. The city's leader was proud, too proud, of both his wisdom and his wealth. The greater one's self-importance, the higher one's selfish pride, and the more shameful the end will be. So God's rebuttal of the king's prideful conclusion of himself was point blank and accurate. Your heart is proud, and you have regarded your heart as that of a god. Selfish pride was the main reason for God's condemnation. God sees everything. And even more than that, he sees into our hearts and our minds. He knows what thoughts and motivations stir about inside of us. Pride was also the reason for God's blunt correction. You are a man and not a god. So let us beware today. Selfish pride moves God into action. He does not sit with folded hands while we strut about with feelings of greatness and superiority over our friends or co-workers or family or other Christian believers. When self-centered pride swells your chest, watch out. God knows, and he just might draw near with a challenge to repent or face the consequences. Exodus 20, verse 3, which is the first commandments, warns us that we are to have no other God before Almighty God. And this includes not viewing ourselves as some sort of God, like the king of Tyre did. So, Ezekiel 28, verses 3 and 4. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. God acknowledged here that the king of Tyre was wiser than Daniel. Daniel was known far and wide. Daniel's wisdom could explain the meaning of dreams and even predict the future. Ethbaal, the king of Tyre, had wisdom and understanding too. But his wisdom was different from Daniel. His understandings were not supernatural like Daniel's. Ethbaal's wisdom was in making money through maritime business, trade, and engaging in venture capital. He had acquired a lot of gold and silver. God said that he had filled his treasuries, which had now become a source of selfish pride. Verse 5. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. So what was the result of Ethbaal's wealth? God charged that the king's heart had now become proud. By declaring himself to be God, he had crossed the line with the Almighty God, and God was not going to look away from his selfish pride. How does this affect us today? We should avoid letting selfish pride gain a stronghold in our lives by recognizing certain attitudes and actions that characterize it. When I started preparing this lesson, I remembered a time when it was a time when I really realized selfish pride within me. And I had been through a real challenge at this time, and there was someone that I felt like had really wronged me. And I became very angry. I became puffed up. I became that, you know, I'm better than them. And one day I just sat thinking, and the Holy Spirit just brought to my mind a way that they were much, much more. Let me say this. Their life, I do know that the person at a young age had been baptized, but they were far from living a Christian life, had not been in church for years upon years upon years, had lots of problems. But anyway, there was a way that God let me know that in a lot of ways they were acting much more like a Christian than I was. And conviction just flooded my heart. And I thought, you know, Lord, you brought me down. And I thank you for that. He just stopped me in my tracks and just let me see that I was far more filthier than they could ever be. So a portrait of any Christian believer should not reveal egotism and snobbery. It should picture humility and gratefulness. I'm going to go to Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. So Paul instructs us to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But did you notice something? There was no mention of selfish pride in there, was there? Centuries after Ezekiel's message to the king of Tyre, Jesus Christ the Messiah came into the world. Paul wrote that Jesus came in humility, even humbling himself to be obedient to die on the cross. It was through humility, not selfish pride, that Jesus brought us salvation. So he is the model for us as Christians today. Prideful people rise and fall just like they did in Ezekiel's day. Politicians, TV stars and personalities, musicians, millionaires, white-collar corporate business people whose annual earnings are somewhere up there in the stratosphere that my mind can't comprehend. What people do, what people wear, what they drive, where they live, may become telltale trappings of success and become self-centered pride that often engulfs them. Many people believe that self-centered pride is good. But the thing about swelled chest is that they often birth feelings of invincibility. And this is what happened to the king of Tyre. The proud rest in a delusion thinking personal godlike power shields them from any force great enough to bring them down. In other words, God can't touch them anymore. In recent years, we've seen a state governor imprisoned, a Wall Street magnate serving time in prison, a president tarnished by a sex scandal, and a congressman resigned because of inappropriate behavior and lying to cover his tracks. So there can be no doubt about it. Sinful pride is still living with us today. We're going to do now verses 11, 12, and 13a. The first sentence of 13. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now this is where it might get a little bit confusing. God told Ezekiel to lament for Ethbal, Tyre's prideful king. The word lament means to passionately express grief, to mourn, or to regret. We could imagine Ezekiel delivering this prophecy with great emotions, maybe even crying when he's given him this prophecy here. The king should prefer repentance over God's judgment, right? Compassion over wrath, and the beauty of confession over the ugliness of sin. But pride prevents that. God didn't hear any confession. He didn't hear any regret. He didn't hear any repentance coming from Ethbal, even after sending a warning through his messenger Ezekiel. God specifically told someone to talk to him, and he wouldn't listen. Bible students differ about Ezekiel's prophetic lament and its meaning. The point likely was that the king was so bloated with selfish pride that he had allowed wickedness to take hold in his life. God would not allow sinfulness to go unpunished. So Ezekiel used the example of Satan, who we know is the worst of all comparisons. We know that Satan was at one time an anointed cherub who even had access to the holy mountain of God. In lamenting Tyre's king, Ezekiel saw Ethbal as a ruler empowered and motivated by selfish pride, as seen in the example of Satan Now, Ezekiel was not suggesting that Ethel was actually in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, or that he was actually even Satan. It was not literally Ethel, who was the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. These descriptions refer to Satan before his rebellion against God. And they are used here to stress just how wicked this king really was in God's eyes. Verses 14 and 15. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Ezekiel continued to mount up comparisons of Satan as a reference to the level of selfish pride displayed by the king. The pictures of the king and of Satan revealed the wickedness that God saw in each of them. As an angel, and in his previous rebellion against God, Satan had unhindered access into God's glorious presence. And we have to stop and wonder, when you could see that, how in the world could you let your mind go elsewhere? The fact that God's prophet used these descriptions here in reference to Tyre's great king shows us how greatly privileged and powerful the king felt he was. And it also shows us how great his fall would be. The king's heart started out well in his rule, but the glitter of gold soon corrupted his heart. In his book, Isaiah revealed the wickedness of Satan's desires to ascend to heaven and set up his throne above God. Satan and the king of Tyre committed the sin of selfish pride, of elevating self, even to the point of being above God. Isaiah describes Satan's attitude as that of desiring to make himself like the Most High God. We see a similar attitude reflected here by the king of Tyre, who is calling himself a god. Selfish pride is folly. Its gains are ultimately losses. Its vanity, finally pointless, and its egotism is judged by the living God. How much better it is to live life in glorifying God rather than puffing up ourselves. Believers have reason to feel deep sorrow about letting selfish pride gain a stronghold, because it shows we are acting more like our enemy, Satan, than like the Lord God, our Creator. Verse 16. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Ezekiel continued comparing Ethbel's actions to Satan, and the descriptions are interchangeable. Just like Satan, the king yielded to the wickedness of selfish pride. And this pride led to his heart being filled with violence, and he sinned. The king of Tyre and its people had grown wealthy due to the abundance of its trade. And as their wealth grew, the greed did too. So God stepped in with this judgment. And just like God expelled Satan from the heavenly realm, he promised to destroy the city of Tyre. Before long, the Babylonian army would surround the wealthy city by the sea. Verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. So as a result of his own selfish pride, the king would become a spectacle and an example before other kings. God's indictment was that the king's heart had become so proud and so focused on his own beauty, rather than pointing to God's glorious beauty, so that all the attention was attracted to himself. And pride then opened the door to the corruption of his wisdom. Wisdom no longer guided the king's decisions. It was greed. His corruption impacted his ability to make wise choices. So Tyre would no longer be splendid, nor its king godlike. God was fixing to humiliate Ethbel so that other kings might observe and learn that the living God hates and judges selfish pride. Solomon said in Proverbs 8:13, God hates arrogant pride. Verse 18, you defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. Ezekiel continues to use cause and effect to accuse Tyre and its proud ruler of profaning God's sanctuaries. The holy places had become mockeries among the people now. God's prophet charged that the city's citizens, who were motivated by their leader's example, woke every morning to stockpile their wealth through dishonest trade. Just like bees swarm around their hive, Tyre's king and the city's money grubbers worked together to swindle their way to the top of the money mountain. And they were good at it. God pictured the worst for the beautiful city and its citizens. He threatened to set fire to Tyre. God's fiery wrath would be so devastating that after the smoke cleared, Tyre would be reduced to ashes. It would be a pitiful end to a magnificent city. Verse 19. All who knew you among the peoples were astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Ezekiel gave the city of Tyre God's final prophecy. When people among the nations heard the news of Tyre's destruction, they would be appalled. Tyre couldn't burn, they thought. And the Titanic couldn't sink, they thought. Well, they were wrong, all of them. Nations that had once trembled before the power and rule of Tyre would now simply be appalled after God's wrath was unleashed. So the prophet's last prediction was stark, blunt, and chilling. The city would become an object of horror and would never exist again. And as always, God was right. The Assyrians attacked the city in 722 BC. It was not razed at that time. It was actually Alexander the Great who later attacked and destroyed the city in 332 BC. The area where the beautiful city stood became a place to draw fishing nets. These events proved to be a fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. Later, the city did recover a little bit, but not to its former glory or power. Jesus even visited the region of Tyre and Sidon in his travels in Mark chapter 7. There are only ruins of the once proud city today. So what is the opposite of selfish pride? Humble service. That's right. Jesus is the one and only perfect example of humble service. Paul said that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. Humility leads to ministry. And regarding Christ, it was ministry that created the most powerful and beneficial accomplishment of all time and in all the universe, the salvation of sinners, our salvation. Selfish pride serves self, no one else. Humble service benefits others. So we would be wise to understand that God condemns selfish pride and responds in judgment against those who allow it to gain a stronghold in their lives still even today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, wonderful message you have brought to us today. And I just thank you so much, Lord. And Lord, as I read this lesson and study, Lord, you have revealed areas within me that need cleansing. And Lord, I confess that before you right now. And I ask, Lord, that you would purge me and forgive me. And help me, Lord. Help me by allowing me to see self and see pride just as they are. Lord, I ask you to fill me with your humbleness. And Lord, help me to just simply be what you created me to be, someone who brings glory and honor to you and you alone. Father, I thank you and I praise you. Father, I pray for our service today. Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, remove any obstacles that prevent us from hearing your word and what you are speaking to us. And allow us, Lord, to receive your Holy Spirit fully and its instructions in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, may you alone be glorified. May you alone be worshiped. May you alone receive praise and honor. We love you, Jesus, for it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.